have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Driving Movies with Hogan and Rudy. The final matchup for our Christmas double features. We made it, and we're bringing you a classic double feature to send things off for this holiday season. This week, we are doing The Bishop's Wife going up against It's a Wonderful Life. Bishop's Wife, Wonderful Life. I didn't even realize they rhymed, and look at that. Fun stuff. But let's get into the details around these. So let's start with It's a Wonderful Life. That is from what year?
1946.
Look at you. Good job. That is directed by Frank Capra, written by Francis Goodrich, Albert Hackett, Frank Capra, and Philip Van Doren Stern. Quite a name. Powerful name. That stars Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, Donna Reed as Mary Hatch, Lionel Barrymore as Mr. Potter, Thomas Mitchell as Uncle Billy, and Henry Travers as Clarence. That is going up against The Bishop's Wife from what year?
1947.
1947, a year later. They were like, well, It's a Wonderful Life did pretty good with this whole Christmas setting, so let's try to do the same thing. With a vastly different story, I can tell you. That is directed by Henry Koster. That's written by Robert E. Sherwood, Leonardo Bercovici, and it's based on a novel by Robert Nathan. That stars Cary Grant as Dudley, Loretta Young as Julia Broham. I forget how they said it in the movie.
I don't remember either.
They just call her Julia. David Niven as the bishop, Henry Braham, and Monty Woolley as Professor Wetheridge. That is this week's matchup. I will turn it over to you to go over what these movies were about.
We'll start with The Bishop's Wife. So that is about a bishop and his wife, but he's praying for a cathedral. And all of a sudden, Cary Grant comes down as an angel for her to make his prayers come true. But the angel starts to get a little comfortable with the bishop's wife because she's... how do I put it? The bishop is... The bishop kind of ignores her because he's working so hard on this cathedral. So she spends a lot of time with the angel, who starts to develop some feelings for her. And the bishop gets a little angry and starts to challenge heaven. Much different story than It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, very different, yeah.
Which is about George Bailey, who's played by good old Jimmy Stewart. And he's this businessman who does everything for everybody. So you kind of get a glimpse of his whole life and his generous personality and giving up a lot of what he really wants. And then he has a freak out and then goes to a bridge. And then heaven comes down and helps him out a bit and shows him what life would have been like without him.
I like it. Let's talk a little bit more in depth about these two in our writing category. So what did you think about the writing in these two?
These are different Christmas movies again. They have very deep themes.
Yeah.
Well, It's a Wonderful Life a little bit more deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bishop's Wife has... I keep wanting to say Bishop's Life.
I know, it's going to be hard this whole time.
The Bishop's Wife has...
It's a Wonderful Wife, and
It's a Life. Wonderful Wife. Oh, that's a good one. I hope the listeners laughed as hard as I did at that. They're like, these guys have lost it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about anymore.
Have.
The Bishop's Wife has some messages to say at the end. It's not quite as It doesn't quite get as dark as It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
It definitely goes into like a dark place, but
so you have the bishop's wife with the bishop who's praying for that cathedral. The story is nice. So he really wants to provide this cathedral, but the angel comes down and is like, what do you really want? Do you want happiness with your wife? Because you seem to be on different pages. Or do you want this cathedral? Like, we're trying to figure out what you really want. I'll be your assistant and we'll figure it out for you. So the whole message with that is nice. But I know we talked about it gets a little weird at the end because the angel gets a little too comfortable.
Yeah,
with the bishop's wife and tries to take her.
it's just a little odd. And I can't tell at the end of the movie. I'm just going to spoil this movie because it's like, what, 60 years old at this point, 70 years old. So I can't tell at the end of the movie if his feelings, the angel's feelings for the bishop's wife, are legitimate or just play into the fact to kind of get the bishop's attention to show, hey, you need to start paying attention to your wife because she's having so much fun with this other guy because you don't have time for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it's the latter, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
I think the angel legitimately tries to steal this bishop's wife at one point in the movie. And it just makes things a little uncomfortable. You're like, okay, this is odd.
Yeah, you're supposed to be an angel.
I don't know how angels work, but it seems like a shady thing to do to come down to help solve a man's prayers and then be like, listen, man, I really like your wife, so I'm gonna try to get her to settle down with me so I don't have to be an angel anymore. And you're like, thank you? Listen, tell God to stop sending me some angels. They all keep trying to steal my wife here. He's really messing up with my life. The rest of the movie's fine. Like, the little segments with the bishop's wife and the angel, they're like cute moments. And like, for any other circumstance, it'd be like a fun little rom-com movie.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. Knowing why he's there and who he is, you're like, this is a little borderline creepy here, just slightly.
And everyone loves him in town.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a professor there that Cary Grant, who's the angel, tells history. The professor's trying to write a book, so he knows all this history because he's an angel, so he knows the history of everything. So he helps him out with his book, and he knows all the right things to say. So the whole town is in love with him, and that poor bishop is just pooped on the entire movie. Well, not poor. He's kind of a jerk.
I was gonna say he's kind of a jerk. So like at some point you're like, you don't want to root for the angel, but you're like, man, the angel is being so much nicer to his wife than he ever was.
Yeah.
But at the same time you're like, but this is so weird. Like I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know. There's a lot of emotions to come with the writing and the bishop's wife. There's a lot of humor in it. There's a lot of funny moments, which I think they did pretty well with. I think a lot of the humor worked for the most part in that movie. So I think at the end of the day, the writing, had they left out that last segment where he was like actually hitting on the wife, I think it would have been a pretty good movie overall. It still is an enjoyable movie to watch. It's just that part of the writing kind of takes you out of it a little bit where you're like, ooh, This is strange now.
In It's a Wonderful Life, there's a lot of themes and scenarios that are the same as today's time.
Oh, yeah.
So you have George Bailey, who's running a loan company from his father, but he's this very generous man. So if people are behind on payment, he does everything he can to help out this community, and he doesn't really care about the money. He just cares about helping people. Same thing like his dad. But then there's this rich businessman, Mr. Potter, and he, of course, all he cares about is money and wants to control everything and keep everyone poor and paying rent, which is pretty similar to today's time.
Yep.
And I've been seeing some things on Twitter going around that...
Have you seen the memes?
Yes, about like, you know how much it takes relevant? A man to save $5,000? And it's like, yeah, I do. It takes a long time to save $5,000. So it's still a very relevant... It's crazy that it's still a very relevant movie today, but it is. But You're right. There's some darker themes to that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes quite a turn. And the writing, it's almost set up like reverse Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge is like, they're showing him his life in the past and like where he went astray and like, in the future, no one's going to care about you, essentially, is Christmas Carol. Whereas, like, It's a Wonderful Life is like, let's see how nice this guy was his entire life. And now in the future, if he's, like, contemplating ending his life, which is a legitimate theme in this movie, like, a Christmas movie from the 40s, this guy's about to go to a bridge and kill himself. And you're like, why does everyone love this movie? Like, and then the movie ends and you're like, oh, okay, I can see why everyone likes this movie. But, like, they try to use the future aspect to be like, no, don't end your life because everyone else's life is going to be so much more miserable because you have helped so many people. And if they hadn't known you, then they wouldn't have progressed their lives in the positive direction that you helped kind of push them into.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see how it's kind of frameworked the same way as A Christmas Carol, but just with the opposite type of character.
Yeah, I never noticed that.
But you're right. I mean, it does get pretty dark. And all of a sudden, you know, you take this lighthearted movie where you're just following this guy who's making a lot of sacrifices, but it's kind of lighthearted and you really start to feel bad for the guy because a lot of the decisions that he wants to do with his life, he kind of puts on hold for other people. Like, he doesn't go to college because his dad's business is going to get shut down unless he stays to run it. So he kind of gives up his dream of going to college. His brother goes instead. And then he gets married and he wants to go on a honeymoon and just celebrate with his wife. But then all of a sudden the depression hits and everyone's trying to get their money out of the bank, but the banks are closed. So they're trying to close their accounts down with the building and loans department. And he pretty much has to use his honeymoon money to keep everyone afloat and make sure he's not losing their business and going over to Potter to, you know, get their money back and close out their accounts with him. And it's just like, it's just segment after segment of seeing him do a lot of sacrifices for everyone else, finally get to a point where maybe he can start living his dream, and then something happens where he's got to take a step back and do something for others. But it kind of builds up to this boiling point where all of a sudden something tragic happens. And, I mean, I'm just going to say it because, again, this movie is like 70 years old. Yeah. So his uncle goes to deposit money for the day. It's like $8,000 or something like that. And he ends up losing it at the bank. Mr. Potter ends up getting it and doesn't say anything because he wants the building and loan department to close. What a shady human being
that
character is. But since they lost this money, he's pretty much like, oh, great, I'm going to go to jail. My life is over. And then he goes to the bridge because, you know, all of a sudden he's fighting with his family. He's feeling stressed out. He's yelling at people. Like, he becomes this really angry person because he's done everything in his life to try to help others. And then all of a sudden one minor setback and, like, his life is, like, flashing before his eyes where it's like, I'm going to go to jail. My life is over. I'll never achieve any of my dreams that I wanted. And he goes to the bridge and you're like, oh, geez, this is a lovely Christmas movie. But then they go through the segment, the kind of Christmas Carol segment, where they show him what life would be like if no one ever knew he existed. And then the film ends on a happy, lighter note. Otherwise, I don't think it would be anyone's favorite Christmas movie.
No.
But even though it has dark themes, I think the movie progresses so well in its story that when you do kind of have that turning point, it doesn't completely lose you because you're like, oh, man, I wonder what's going to happen to this guy now, because I'm invested in his character, and I think the writing does a good job of kind of setting that first hour and a half up where you're seeing all the sacrifices he makes and you're pretty much growing up with this guy and all the decisions that he's done to help other people. And so when he hits that low, you're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
He freaks out on his family.
Yep. That's my long-winded
I love it.
Explanation. I guess I just explained the story. I didn't really talk about what I thought about it, but I think they did a good job of laying that whole story out.
Yeah. I liked it a little bit more than Bishop's Wife.
Yeah.
So I would get my point for sure.
What about characters?
I'll start with the Bishop's Wife again. Cary Grant is an interesting angel. So he, like I said earlier, he plays that sly, just charming person. Everyone loves him. But it takes that weird twist, and he starts to fall in love with another man's wife as an angel. Weird. The bishop, he's okay.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, maybe he should spend more time with his wife. The wife, she's just kind of there too, as the in the middle between the bishop and the angel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really anyone that I really connected with in the bishop's wife. Altogether, they were enjoyable to watch, but no one singly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But It's a Wonderful Life. That is different. Jimmy Stewart, of course. Mm-hmm. I love Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yeah. He's great in everything.
And just watching his character, it's nice that they show you from when he was young to older. Because even as a child, you see that he had this job at, what was it, like a general store or like a pharmacy or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that pharmacist is beating him.
Because he was late in delivering medicine.
Which the pharmacist, the medicine. Yeah, it was poison. Mm-hmm. And you're like, huh, so that's why you didn't deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So his whole life, he's just been doing good things. And that's why you root for him the whole way. And it's nice they give that. It's the whole movie is basically his backstory, which is great. But it's not too long or anything like that. And you enjoy seeing him as the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Potter, of course. Garbage.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Potter is terrible. But even Mary, Jimmy Stewart's wife,
mm-hmm.
like she's an enjoyable character to watch as she progresses throughout his life, too, because you see their kind of romance blossom, and I think they make a pretty cute couple.
There is one scene between them that I was super confused by, and that's when she just gets back from college,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe he's just mad because he didn't go to college, but he goes to her house and he's like super mean to her,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, and she's trying to do all these nice things.
She and puts on like the song that they sang together and a drawing that she made of him and stuff like that. And he's like, what is this, a joke?
Yeah. She's like, no. And then he like grabs her and shakes her and then kisses her. And then they're married in the next scene. And you're like,
I don't understand. It's such a weird transition.
I don't understand any of this. That's my only beef with, I guess, the writing.
I'm glad you mentioned that because when I was watching that and they transitioned from like they're on the phone with his friend, all of a sudden they both start crying and he like just grabs her and then they kiss and then the transitions to their wedding. It's such a weird transition where you're like, whoa, like I get where they are going with it, but man, oh man, that was
it was just weird.
It's a strange turn of events based on the last scene.
Yeah, and they were talking to the friend about an investment.
Yeah,
and they start crying and then he shakes her. I never want to get married. And then he gets married. You're like, what? Horrible. I don't know. That's a weird part. But other than that, those two characters are great.
Yeah, I like the characters a lot more in It's a Wonderful Life. I think you mentioned it best where, as a whole, the characters are fine in Bishop's Wife, but you don't really feel a connection with any of them in particular. Whereas It's a Wonderful Life, they really spend a lot of time on George Bailey and the characters that he interacts with and does good deeds for, so that you kind of really feel... You really feel connected with him, and then you also kind of get, you feel connected within that community too, because you get to meet so many different characters and see how his life impacted them, that you start to feel like you're part of that little community too, watching the movie. So I would give it to characters for sure, for It's a Wonderful Life.
Heck yeah, me too.
All right, 2-2 right now. Well, 2 for It's a Wonderful Life, 0 for
yeah. <first one.
laughs> 2 for It's a Wonderful Wife.
Yeah.
Let's talk about music. What did you think about the music?
Both these were good. It's just these classic movies, they don't really have anything special. Nothing really stands out. It's just kind of there in the background. But it's nice. They both work. I don't know if I could really pick out the music in either of these. I bet if you played one for like It's a Wonderful Life, I wouldn't be able to guess if it was The Bishop's Wife for A Wonderful Life.
The only thing I'll say about music was... The song that Jimmy Stewart or George Bailey and Mary sing,
Buffalo
Girls,
yeah,
which come out tonight, that's like a recurring part of the soundtrack. So like the opening sequence is that song, like the opening titles.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that.
And then they play it on later, and then she plays it on the record when they meet later. And then you have that sweet moment when they get married and they go to their house. You have the police officer and the cab driver, Bert and Ernie. Are like outside singing while they're dancing and whatnot. So you have like little cute moments with the music and how they incorporate how it affected the story into the actual score itself. And then I'm always a sucker for Auld Lang Syne. And the movie ends with Auld Lang Syne. I'm like, ah, that's a good ending. I like it. So I'd give my point in music to It's a Wonderful Life as well, just because I noticed those little things rather than just the standard score that I think The Bishop's Wife has. Maybe it had deeper connection too, and I just didn't pick it up, but...
Probably not. I'm biased. Not. I'll give it to you.
Probably not.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Just sweep on through.
Sweeping it.
All right, what do you think about the tech?
It's always hard with... I watch both these in black and white. I have nothing against black and white, of course, but I like with tech, nothing really stands out because it's just like this gray, white, black blob. That... Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, It's a Wonderful Life has the different sets. You have the house, you have Mr. Potter's office, which I always, in there, it's a little intimidating, even for, like, you as the viewer. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he's in this really fancy chair. He always has someone behind his back. Mm-hmm. So that those, like, little details kind of helped with characters and kind of setting the scene.
I like it. Very analytical.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that really stood out to me for tech watching both these movies was the little tricks that the angel does in Bishop's Wife were actually pretty good. He does one where he keeps making the professor's...
Like his foul cards?
What kind of drink was.
Oh, that's right.
But he
right.
kept making his drink, like his glass, fill up with... it's like sherry or something. I think they were drinking sherry. And every time the professor takes a drink and finishes his glass, the angel fills it right back up. And the professor keeps going and take the bottle and fill it up, and every time he goes to fill it up, his glass is full, and he's like, what? So that scene was pretty funny, and I like how they did that pretty practically. He does the one where he, like, throws the mail, which obviously looks weird because it's aged, but at the same time, you're like, wow, they actually pulled that off for, like, a 40s movie. Like,
yeah,
it looks weird, but not as weird as I feel like it should look. Yeah. Like, I think I feel like there's more tricks that they do in the movie.
The tree.
At the
end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's fixing the tree and lots of tinsel.
I just I like how they did that in that movie, and I feel like it worked for the story. It's a Wonderful Life, I think, has more iconic like shots in the movie. And back to the editing, as always. The editing is good because you're kind of jumping through different timelines of his life, but you're never really feeling lost.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think for tech specifically, I think this time I'm going to give it to The Bishop's Wife.
Oh, shoot.
Just the little camera tricks they do in that to show that he's an angel.
Yeah, because at first you don't really know. You're like, is he? And the bishop's even like, I'm a religious man, but
yeah,
I don't think you're real. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you're an angel. And then, yeah, they do those little tricks to show that he actually is. But I'm going to go against you. It's a Wonderful Life.
Fair enough. Which movie did you enjoy more?
I was pleasantly surprised by Bishop's Wife.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why people are very attached to It's a Wonderful Life and why I never really have heard of Bishop's Wife before this. Mm-hmm. Bishop's Life, It's a Wonderful Wife. It's one that I would probably watch every year, and I see why people do. It does get dark, and I had forgotten, it's been a while since I've seen it, and I had forgotten the dark turn that it takes and how much of a jerk Jimmy Stewart is at points, and you're like, you're this really great guy, but you're horrible right now.
Right, yeah. He like, becomes really mad and really, really nasty to the people around him. Kind of understandable.
Yeah. Because
not to the people, because like it's like, man, these people didn't do anything to you. But like you can also understand why he's stressed out.
It builds his whole life, too. His whole life. It just builds and builds, and then he just freaks out. Which a lot of people go through.
It's all the uncle's fault, honestly.
It like, is. And why does the uncle have so many animals? Why does he have a squirrel in his office?
Yeah.
And a crow? That they don't ever talk about that. But yeah, Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I will agree with you. It's a Wonderful Life for me. It's not one that I always like look to watch every Christmas. But when I'm done watching it, I'm like, wow, that was a really good movie. Like, I enjoyed that movie. So it's not one that I'm eager to rewatch every year, but it's one that when I do watch it, I find myself pleasantly surprised every time with how much I actually enjoy that movie. The Bishop's Wife was a fun watch. It was a different Christmas movie to watch that I hadn't seen before. Kind of slow at some points. You're not really quite sure where the movie is going. I mean, you can kind of guess based on what the angel is doing, and kind of you can kind of see where they're going with showing the bishop what's actually important and what he needs in his life. But the movie, kind of, I don't know if it was just for me, but it felt like it was just kind of taking its time getting to that point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like, almost okay. 2 hours, I think, yeah, an hour and 50 minutes or something.
And you're like, okay, like, where are we going? Let's get this over with. So I didn't find myself enjoying The Bishop's Wife as much as It's a Wonderful Life. And it's probably not one that I would put on again, necessarily. Like, if someone threw it on, like if Ellie put it on the TV, which I doubt will ever happen, it's a movie that you can sit down and watch. It's not like, oh, change the channel, I don't want to watch this. But it's not one where 3 Christmases from now, you'd be like, ooh.
All gather around.
Let's throw on The Bishop's Wife. That's a good Christmas movie. Probably not.
Let's watch An Angel Trying to Steal a Man's Wife.
Yeah.
Christmas classic.
Comfortable.
Especially a bishop's wife.
This guy, yeah, this guy is going to come in and be like, I'm going to help you solve your prayer. I'm taking your wife. Like, wait, was that his prayer?
And your whole family.
Yeah.
And the maids.
Mm-hmm. They're all going to love me and hate you. And you're like,
Merry Christmas.
You're supposed to help this guy? That's the thing I don't understand about the last portion of it, where I was like, I wonder if it's just him showing that, you know, he needs to spend more time with his wife and stuff like that. But then you have that whole segment where he goes to do like a contract with the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the wife is like, meet me at the church afterwards and we can listen to the choir together and then go do whatever. And so he goes to do this contract, try to get money for the cathedral and everything like that. And then he's like, she's like, let's discuss the details. And he's like, can we save it for another time? Because I really need to go meet my wife. So it's like showing that he's like putting that aside to actually spend time with the wife. But mm-hmm. the angel does a trick where he gets stuck to his chair. So he can't go to meet them. And like that whole scene, while funny, you're like, wait, what are the angel's true like motive? Like, mm-hmm. what is he actually trying to do here?
Oh, and then we find out.
Oh, we find out, all right. But then he's like, oh, I was here to help guide you the entire time. You're like, yeah, right. Until you saw my wife, and then you were like, ooh, maybe I can get some of this action. Strange, man, strange. But there you have it. Next week, we are going...
Switching gears.
Post-apocalyptic here. Yeah. Going real dark.
You gotta go from... It's the new year. New yeah. year?
Y2K new all over again. Yeah. Get paranoid about the world ending.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect time.
We are kind of living in a dystopia, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
What movies do we got next week?
I Am Legend and The Book of Eli.
Ooh, all right. I'm excited.
Is that Denzel and Will Smith?
Yeah, Denzel and Will Smith. It's been a while since I've seen Book of Eli. Actually, it's been a while since I've seen both of them, honestly.
So get ready.
This will be a good refresher. But as always, thank you for listening. And we hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday and a, well, no, we'll talk to you before the New Year's. So that's all you get for right now.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.